Sometimes on days when we're working, you don't need to put your hand up, but when you're working and you're having one of those days, you want to go into the staff room and maybe you just want to sit by yourself. No, I don't need another conversation. I just want to sit. I'm going to give you a tip. If you go into the staff room and it feels a little busy, people are talking and they're talking to you and you don't want to, here's a little tip for you. If you want to get some space but want to do it in a polite way, simply say that as a Christian, two things that matter to you are obedience and Sabbath, and they're deeply important to you. Would you like to hear more? Yeah, okay, you know, you'll get your alone time. It's great. Anyone have a hard time with this virtue pair when it comes up month after month and we say we are a community that believes in obedience and Sabbath? How does it sit for you? If we're supposed to embody Christ's love, the first virtue, obedience, doesn't show love, does it? It shows robotic action. It's not love if you were told to do it, is it? Anyone who has kids knows that when you ask your child to please do the dishes, they might not do it. So then you tell the child to please do the dishes. Maybe they'll do it. But you might have to command them to do the dishes and tell them about consequences if they don't. Then they do the dishes. And at the end of it, you say, thanks very much. And then there's this little moment where they're like, why did you say thank you? You made me do it. Obedience doesn't show love. It shows subservience, doesn't it? In our culture, obedience is almost disgusting. And then the second virtue, Sabbath. If we're supposed to embody Christ's love, Sabbath doesn't work. Resting doesn't show love to others. It shows self-indulgence, doesn't it? And if you need a rest, it means you're weak. You can't keep going. If anything, maybe it even shows you're lazy. You don't show love by taking a nap. You show love in acts of service. Everyone knows that. How do these virtues embody love? I wonder. I wonder if there's a different way to know obedience and Sabbath, such that, in fact, through obedience and rest, we connect to the deep love of God, the love of God for all creation. And that through obedience and through rest, we can connect to the love of Jesus Christ for redemption. And that through obedience and rest, we can connect to the love of the Holy Spirit for life lived to the full. This is what the vine holds for you this morning. Let me pray and open your hearts to hear this text. Father God Almighty, we ask that through this text and by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you illumine our minds, rekindle our hearts, and strengthen our wills. In your name we pray. Amen. Now the metaphor Jesus chose, the metaphor of the vine, is what we're going to be looking at through this series. This is sermon 2 of 4, as we pay attention to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. The vine metaphor he chose is symbolic of belonging. The branches must belong entirely to the vine, and they can only belong to one vine. If the branches are to live and to bear fruit, they must completely depend upon the vine for nourishment, support, strength, and vitality. Through this metaphor, we're going to be looking at this text in order to enlighten, in order to explain, in order to understand our new mission statement, embody Christ's love. Last week, we looked at two virtues, participation and covenant, as the way of explaining to us how do we step into this embodiment of Christ's love. Well, we do this together, and we commit to doing it together through covenants. Covenant and participation are deeply important in our ways of embodying Christ's love here in our congregation and in the world. This week, I want to talk about the fruit. Because you see, a vine is supposed to bear fruit, and the branches of the vine are supposed to bear fruit. Jesus bears much fruit. The fruit of his work is redemption, healing, mercy, grace, and he bears the fruit of transformed lives. We see this in the text of Scripture through Zacchaeus, Paul, John, and James, and others. Transformed lives and redemption, healing, mercy, and grace, this is the fruit of Jesus' work. Jesus is the vine who bears fruit. The fruit is a result of him doing his work faithfully. His work done faithfully is the result of his obedience. John chapter 6, verse 38, For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus is obedient. John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to completely finish his work. For Jesus, his obedience to the Father is his work, and he submits in obedience to the will of the Father. And this submission does not in any way diminish Jesus Christ. It doesn't diminish the love that he feels from the Father, and it doesn't diminish his ability to express his love for others. In fact, his obedience is an expression of love, love both to the Father and to us. Obedience is an act that reveals your deep loyalties. What are your deep convictions? Jesus' obedience reveals his deep loyalty and his conviction to the Father and to us. For him, it's an act of love. This is the best sense of obedience, right? Because you know, you're thinking that obedience, I can get obedience in other ways, can't I? Pain can make people obedient. Fear, greed, intimidation, or shame. But these are only shadow forms of obedience. This kind of shadow obedience, it only happens when the motivation is present. If you remove the pain, if you remove the greed, if you remove these other motivations, then the obedience will dissolve. Whatever you're obedient to, whatever ideal, whatever principle you're loyal to, it will determine how you act. It will determine how you treat people. So when we see Jesus' obedience, it determines how he interacts with other people, both his friends and his enemies. What you are obedient to will determine how you treat other people, and it determines how you think about your work. So, for Jesus, his higher value, his obedience, is the love that he knows with the Father. Well, what this does is this actually gives him a measure of freedom from these shadow forms of obedience. Pain, greed, shame, intimidation, they have no power to make him obedient to them because he has a higher loyalty that he's obedient to. Similarly for us, our obedience needs to be to something higher. If it's just to greed, fear, shame, or those other things, those will determine how we run our businesses, won't they? If you're obedient to greed, it'll change how you think about. If you're just obedient to your paycheck, the way you interact with a customer will be very different than if you're obedient to love. Obedience to Jesus in the way that you teach in the schools will change the way that you interact with the children, with the parents, and you'll see it as a way of interacting and loving, in fact, the whole community that these families are a part of. A good practice is to check in with Jesus along the way with your work. How am I being obedient to you right now, Jesus? Am I fulfilling what you're asking me to do? Am I being obedient? We check in with him through prayer because we're not obedient just to a set of rules. You don't read the scriptures and say, well, I'm supposed to be obedient to Jesus, so I'm going to find all those principles in scripture, write them down, and be obedient to them. Not at all. We're obedient to a person. So we check in through prayer to see how that is coming along. One way that you see this happen, perhaps you've watched a sporting event, and you see this most often in soccer, but you'll see it in other sports as well. In soccer, the players come to the pitch, and they do something just before they step on. Many of them do. They will cross themselves. Why are they doing that? Is it superstition? Oh, if I cross myself, I'm more likely to win, because then I have God on my side. It's not. What it's doing is recognizing that as I cross and step over into the field of play, I am now incredibly vulnerable in a way I wasn't there. Because as we play this game, there's going to be moments of tension. I'm not going to like one of the calls the ref makes. Am I going to be obedient to Jesus Christ? Or am I going to lose my temper on this ref and dehumanize them in that moment? They're trying their best, but I'm going to make them feel small because they were wrong. No, I'm going to cross myself to remind myself that I take and I bear the cross of Christ as I step onto this field of play. Come what may, I will be obedient. What I would love to see is that as Christians play in sports, maybe you're in baseball and you cross yourself. When you hit the home run and you thank God, very cool. But when you strike out, what would it look like if Christians started saying, amen? Even as I strike out, I still want to keep the faith and be obedient. One thing that we think about when we think about obedience is that obedience is a loss of freedom. I have a small black lab. I'm sorry, Sarah's working with Sunday school because this little story is for her, so please share it with her afterwards. I have a little black lab. And this little black lab loves us, but really loves freedom. And so this morning, as Sarah was getting ready to come to service today, I got a little message on my phone, on my watch, that says, your dog has left the fence. We have a virtual fence around our house, so the little black lab had taken a runner, and then I received a text message, Kona has no recall. We think of obedience kind of like that. If I'm obedient, it just means I'm like a dog, right? I don't have freedom. Obedience to Jesus Christ should never feel like you're giving up your freedom. If it feels that way, you're doing it wrong. Obedience to Jesus is not about giving up your freedom. It's actually embracing true freedom. Obedience to Jesus is not about taking on more burdens. It's about taking on the right weight, the burden for you that is his relationship with the Father. This is the burden he wants to give you. The other burdens are from somewhere else and they do not give you freedom. Obedience to Jesus actually feels like a weight lifted off your shoulders. How can this be? How can we engage in obedience so that it feels like freedom? And what's more, Jesus even connects it to joy. In this passage that was read for us, Jesus tells us, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Anybody goes on. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The freedom and abiding that happens in and around obedience and love is connected to joy. Jesus says that the commandments are how we abide and know the love of Jesus and the Father, and that in and through this, abiding in his love, you will know joy, the fullness and deepness of joy that passes all things that you can experience any other way. How does this freedom and joy come from obedience? Because in obedience to Jesus, we're free from all other masters. Let me say that again, and if you feel like it, please say amen. In obedience to Jesus, we are free from all other masters. In obedience to our desires become aligned with God, we're free from our desires when they get perverted. Our desires get perverted by all the things around us in the world that pull on us, that twist us, whether it be greed, fear, shame, or pain. In obedience to God, our desires become aligned to the good, to the beautiful, and to the true. We're free from being obedient to greed, our shame, to our anger, to somebody else's anger. Whether we're the CEO or the slave, whether you're the king or the pauper. Bob Dylan puts it this way, everybody's got to serve somebody. You may be, you know the song. All of us have to serve somebody. Even if you don't acknowledge them to yourself, you're actually serving somebody. It's only in Jesus that we can be truly free from ourselves and from others, free through obedience to Jesus. And in doing so, we embody Christ's love. We actually embody his love because we receive it more fully as we're obedient to him, and we actually embody it to others so that they also can see and know the love of God. If you struggle with obedience, if you feel like it's incredibly hard to be obedient to Jesus, and you're wondering, he must think not very highly of me because I struggle with obedience, hear this text a little bit differently this morning. The obedience is not the gate or the fence in order to become one who abides in Jesus Christ. The obedience is the beginning of the fruit that comes from being abiding in Jesus Christ. Abide in him and the commandments will flow as part of the fruit. So then, if obedience and our work can deepen our knowing and experience of God and of his love, what then of Sabbath and rest? Sometimes you forget that you've started doing this. We're on the second sermon in the series of four. I said that a while back. And then we talked about obedience. Very cool. Now Sabbath. There's a little note there. Change slides. There we go. Through Sabbath, how do we embody love? Well, Sabbath is the embodiment of love when we see and look at Jesus Christ. Seeing him reveals so clearly that Sabbath for him was an embodiment of the love that he knows from the Father to us. Jesus talks about the Sabbath. It's not that we are made for Sabbath, to keep the commandments around Sabbath, that we're made to keep Sabbath. But no, Sabbath actually is made to keep you. Sabbath is made for you, not you for Sabbath. And we also see Jesus take the Sabbath as the opportunity to give us healing, to heal the people that come to him. Sabbath was made to make you whole and to make you holy. We see Jesus also in his ministry take times of rest. And I've always struggled with this passage because it seems like there's these people that want to come and hear Jesus and they want to hear him speak words of truth and they're hurting. Some of them are crippled and lame or have leprosy and they want to be touched and healed. And Jesus, instead of going to the people to do this work, which seems so important, he goes off by himself. And if you're reading the text in the Gospels, you see that the disciples had issue with this too. They're like, Jesus, where were you? We're trying to find you. And again, Jesus is on a boat with the disciples. And they're in the midst of what seems like a rebellion being started. And there's even storms on the waves. They're like, they're feeling this. And Jesus has taken a nap. Like, how does his rest embody his love? It feels like he's checked out for a moment. I think for Jesus Christ, his Sabbath and his rest are tied to each other the same way that Sabbath and rest is tied for God in the fulfillment of creation. God created over 6 days, and on the Sabbath he rested, not because he was too tired and couldn't work anymore, but because the rest was actually the fulfillment of the work, the crown on the work. These are tied together. Without one, the other one becomes perverted and poisonous. But together, they become the fulfillment of God's love in creation. For Jesus, his taking the time to connect himself to the Father was deeply connected an embodiment of his love for us. Similarly, for us, observing Sabbath is an act of love. It's an act out of love. You know that you are loved by God if you dwell and abide in Sabbath rest. Because you can say, I trust that he has my work taken care of. I don't have to work every single day, every single moment, because I know that God provides for me. He will give me enough. And I trust that he will take care of my work, that my work doesn't depend on me as the savior of my work, but actually it's God's work. And so I take a day off from it to say, it's in his hands, not mine. Sabbath is the clear statement that I am not indispensable. It's also a clear statement to say I'm not a slave. I'm not a slave to my work. I'm not a slave to my ambition or to anyone else because I take Sabbath. In this text, when Jesus talks about fruit, he talks about pruning. And most of us, when we hear this text on the vine, we say, oh yes, God prunes, and good Christians who have been with Jesus for a long time, yes, we know what we mean when we say pruning, right? Oh, it's those hard days. That's when God's pruning me. But I wonder, the word pruning there and the word cleansing, the very next verse, are actually the same word, but we translate it as cleansing. You have already been cleansed by my word. I think Jesus is trying to say that my Father will prune you, and he's already been pruning you by my word. Jesus' word is the ways and means in which he prunes and cleanses us. Could it also be just the same way that when you exercise, your muscles don't grow while you're actually lifting the barbell, right? Your muscles grow when you... Similarly, for our spiritual life, could it be that actually we are pruned and cleansed by God's word when we rest in him in Sabbath? Sabbath is an act in which we deeply know the love of God for us as he prunes and cleanses us. It's also an act of love for others, because the Sabbath rest is not meant for your self-indulgence. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy. This is where the Ten Commandments are, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And in Deuteronomy, it says this about the Sabbath. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, good, your male or your female slave, your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Sabbath is not meant as self-indulgence. It's meant to be a community engaged rest together. It's meant as an invitation to do this together, not on your own. Your Sabbath rest is actually an act of love with, for, and by others. It's not just a recharge so that you can get back to work, so you can produce more widgets that we can sell. Sabbath is meant as the fulfillment and the crown of your work. Work without authentic rest and rest without authentic work. Both of these are twisted and sour. They're not the fullness of what it means to be a human being made in the image of God. Now, I spoke on Sabbath a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into detail on how to keep Sabbath. But let me reemphasize that discerning what your Sabbath is, trying to ask God and learn from Him, God, how should I rest in You? What does my Sabbath look like? Doing this is an act of deep love. Saying, God, can You teach me how to take a true Sabbath? God, what should I stay away from on this day, and what should I enter into? This discernment is a way of learning and hearing from God how He deeply loves you and is inviting you into the fullness of His rest. And I encourage you to take time to figure out Sabbath for yourself and for your family. Through work and rest, through obedience and Sabbath, you will know the love of God more fully, and you will express it more fully. You will go deeper in love with Jesus through obedience and through Sabbath. And as I asked last week, I ask again, so what? What's it for, embodying God's love? Well, we embody God's love to renew all things by the message and mercy of Jesus Christ. By embodying Jesus' love, you are connected to the renewing of all things through His message and through His mercy. In a time when it seems around us that the darkness is closing in so many ways, when oppression and violence, these are given no reason to stop, when vulnerable citizens and civilians and children are considered worthy sacrifices for land and power, when greed wins, when depression and mental health struggles are so prominent, and yet, in this darkness, the light shines, and the darkness cannot comprehend it, cannot grasp it, and cannot overcome it. In the darkness, the light shines and it renews whatever it shines on. Love renews. The embodiment of love renews. As you embody Christ's love through obedience and Sabbath, you are a light. You are a witness to the light. You see the light more clearly. You see the renewal happen. And you're also a light by which others can see the love of God, and they can see and participate in His renewal of all things. In this experience of renewal, you are experiencing eternal life here in this moment. Your obedience to Jesus draws you into the renewing of all things. By following His commandments in your work, Jesus plants seeds of hope through you. He nurtures peace through your obedience, and He waters justice as you are obedient to Him. He harvests the love that He is making through all things being made new. When you resist obedience, you miss out on this. You miss out on the work that God is actively doing in the world by His Spirit. And when you fail to dwell deeply in God and to dwell in His rest, you miss out on knowing the depth of His love to all creation. So take joy, my friends. Receive the invitation today to obedience in freedom, to rest and Sabbath, to make your love with God more fully a part of your life. And as you follow work and rest in the rhythm of the One who created all days and who created all things, you will find that the divine rhythm of work and rest, that you will see this renewal happen. And this renewal will move you towards the joy that fulfills you and makes you complete. The obedience and the rest that God gives you is a gift that brings you joy that is deep, full, rich, and not in any way transitory or temporary. Receive then as a gift this call to obedience and Sabbath, to work and rest, that you may truly know the love of Jesus Christ and abide in His love, that you may know the joy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and may your joy be complete. Amen.